Welcome into the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray. Please be joined by GolfChannel.com senior writers Rex Hoggard and Ryan Lavner. Boys, we are putting a bow on 2017 by looking ahead to 2018, and we're devoting an entire episode here to the man, the myth, the needle, Tiger Woods.
And for a good reason.
It's understandable. You look at our metrics, you look at ratings, whether he's shooting a 68 or a 78 or not playing for 10 months, makes a difference if he's there or not.
Stop tweeting at me saying that you don't care about Tiger, that we need to move on to Justin Thomas and Jordan Spieth and Dustin Johnson. We'll have a podcast for those guys.
We will.
But if you look at any metric, by any measure, this guy is the biggest needle mover in the sports. He is still the needle, and I think the Hero World Challenge proved that.
Well, the fact we're sitting here having this conversation, and I don't deny that look, he is still the engine that moves the wheel that is the PGA Tour, but we have no idea when he's going to play again. I mean, we can sit here and we can assume and we can guess and we can probably
make it. It's not going to be in 2017.
It is not, and it's not going to be Hawaii, would be my guess, and Torrey Pines seems like the likely option.
I wish he wouldn't.
There's probably a lot of good reasons. That seems like a good kicking off point. Let's move
ahead. It
doesn't,
though.
I mean, we can look back at the
topic, not the course.
The topic is it.
Yes.
And we can look at the Hero, and there's a lot of good signs out of it. The fact he was upright for 72 holes is the part I took out of it, regardless of what he shot. But moving forward, yes, there are some things he could do with his schedule. I don't expect him to do those things with his schedule.
What I think is really interesting is if we'd had this discussion 6 months ago, we would have said that Tiger's got to overhaul his entire game. He's got to be a Jim Furyk-type plotter. He's going to have to start playing Colonial and Harbortown and some of these position golf courses. Except at the Hero, he had the same ball speed as Justin Thomas. He's bashing all over the lot.
I mean, that is
a shocking.
It's a little misleading. I love the stat, too, but let's look at this objectively here.
He's swinging out of his shoes?
Justin Thomas said, as he was leaving on Sunday, I didn't exactly treat this like a major. He hadn't touched the club for 2 weeks. He's coming off a very long, very, very successful season. I think a lot of players in that field sort of went in there just to hit it and giggle.
Ball speed measures the contact point.
Tiger treated that like a major. He prepared like a major. He focused like a major. Good for him. It's perfectly understandable. I do want to see how he holds up, wherever that might be. Torrey Pines, it's not going to be the Career Builder. It's not going to be those events that we just talked about. He's going to stick to his schedule. Whether if we think it's a good idea or not doesn't particularly matter. But I want to see how he holds up against a full field on a golf course. It's got narrow fairways and thick rough.
The only reason I bring up the ball speed is because that is the contact that he's making with ball and clubhead. And to do it 180 miles an hour, which would rank on the top 20 on tour last season, that really impressed
me. On fairways that were the size of some
that
range.
Has nothing to do with ball speed.
Well, it has everything to
do with
you hanging
on.
How
hard you can go after
it. Yeah, it's easy when you have fairways at Albany. And again, I don't want to take anything away from Tiger here. It was a great week. I'm just trying to put some context into this, saying that, yes, very, very good start. It's a great way to prepare for next year. But when he shows up at Torrey Pines or even Riviera, which seems obvious he will play, it's going to be a different swing.
Yeah, and I want to see, because we saw it last year, everyone was optimistic after the Hero. Mm-hmm. And then I covered Torrey Pines, and it looked like a completely different golfer 7 weeks later. Right. I mean, he looked brittle, he looked old, he looked like he was in pain, and he could say the same things that, you know, I had great training sessions over the brief off season. My game feels good, body feels great, and it just wasn't the case. So I'm curious to see if he does show up at Torrey Pines, what he looks like, if he's learned lessons from perhaps last year, even though he wasn't probably forthright about his position. But just to get back to this ball speed, I want to see back-to-back events on the back end of that. Is he showing any wear and tear after two events? Because I think that's the next step. Can you do it for 4 days. Can you do it back-to-back weeks jetting across the country?
No. Or across the world for all we know. Let's hope he doesn't make that mistake again. But
let's go baby steps here. So we're taping this a couple weeks after the Hero World Challenge. No commitments yet from Tiger one way or another. I think, gentlemen, you'd agree the conventional wisdom from what we would discern from the tea leaves here would go Torrey, Riviera, and then maybe PGA National. You've got Torrey as a course that he has a great affinity for.
Please don't
maybe
play
it was
a Torrey.
1.0. He's get there. And then you've got his foundation is the charitable arm
there
at Riviera, and then a de facto home game or as close to a home game as you're going to get down at PGA National. But Lav, why are you selling on him playing Torrey Pines?
Look, I understand the history there, all the wins, 10 years since the Torrey U.S. Open. I get it. Look, he loves being back at that golf course. However, it is no longer the best fit for his game. He hasn't played well there over the past, what is it now, in 2018, it's going to be 4 years. The rough is going to be juicy. It's probably going to be cold. It ranks as one of the most difficult golf courses on the PGA Tour every year. He needs to have a soft opening. I'd love to see him play Wailea. I'd love to see him play Career Builder just to get some quote-unquote reps on easier golf courses in dome-like conditions, which you're not going to have at Torrey Pines.
I want a pony. I mean, we want to see a lot of things. It's not going to happen, and for a lot of different reasons. Now, that's not to say he's going to have to add something to his schedule that he doesn't traditionally play, whether if that's Wyndham
or Riviera.
Greenbrier. Riviera will be a new one for obvious reasons. It's a foundation event at that point. But you're using kind of two sets of facts here, though. So I do want to call you on that. You're talking about his ball speed, which you want to camp on, and then you want to talk about how long Torrey Pines is. Which is it? Is he hitting the ball a long way?
I'm not saying how long. I'm saying how difficult the golf course is.
Oh, absolutely.
Length is not going to be an issue for Tiger. It's if he hits it offline with his 180-mile-an-hour ball speed.
Which was the point we both just made about Albany, and your point was it's still the same swing. So you're using two separate sets of facts. So let's dovetail in here and figure out what you're trying to say. Bring it home for us.
I didn't mention anything about his driving accuracy. I mentioned his ball speed, which measures what kind of contact are you making.
And our point was he won't have that ball speed when he's staring down a fairway that's a third of the size of what he had at Albany.
You don't know that for sure.
That's our safe
assumption.
That's our theory, and that's the
And you're kind of assuming it as well now after you just camped on the ball speed.
I think he's going to try and hit it hard at Torrey Pines, and he's going to find the rough, and then he's going to get in trouble.
And the rough is a dangerous play.
He mentioned at the Hero that golf course did not have any rough.
Right.
How is his back going to react when he has to gouge it out of the thick, wet,
so
juicy stuff?
How many golf courses on the PGA Tour schedule are sans rough? You can do that at Augusta, and you can do that if you want to go play in the...
He's not playing Houston, which would be a good
one. ...in the dog and pony show of the Pro-Am at under the dome at the Career Builder, which I don't think...
Phoenix.
He's not playing Pebble. I mean, we can go down the list.
I'd love to see him play Phoenix,
But the majority of the courses, if he doesn't want to tackle Torrey now, he's going to have to play. Riviera has plenty of juicy rough and even tighter fairways than Torrey.
I'm saying Torrey's difficulty is an unnecessary risk that he needs to take. Not just risk for re-injuring, but it's just unnecessary to play that type of golf course.
No, and I would agree with you, but he's not changing his schedule. Again, we all want ponies, and I just don't see that. He's not going to dramatically change.
We know which is on your Christmas list.
And it's a pony, and I never get it year in and year out. I never get the pony. And I'll go back to your tweet, which is a very good tweet from a few weeks ago when he finished up at Hero. He took one of his greatest liabilities, his driving, and has suddenly turned it into a strength. And we can sit here and debate his driving all we want. The short game is an issue.
Yep.
I mean, it wasn't easy chipping conditions at Albany. But then we've been down this road before.
He also hit some good chips, but he hit just enough bad chips to make you believe that there's still some demons.
No, the short game is not how many good chips you can hit. It's how many clunkers do you hit. That's
yes.
the problem.
I mean, and he said it himself going back a few years when he took that exile because of the chipping issues that he had, whatever you want to call them, that on the range back home, you've got to hit 10 out of 10 of those perfect. Because that's essentially what he needs to do on the PGA Tour. And he definitely did not do that in Albany. And look, it's nothing he can't work his way out. And to take the positive road, I completely agree with what I heard from multiple tour players. If he plays 20 events a year for the next 3 years, he'll figure it out.
He'll get competitively sharp.
He's an athlete. He'll win again. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say he won't win again. Will he win a major against this current crop of players? That one's a whole different other question.
It is kind of amazing still to think about just having this discussion given where we were, what, 2.5 months ago sitting in the media center at Liberty National and listening to him talk about just entertain the notion that he was never going to play competitively again. And then, you know, he dialed it up very quickly to his credit, one Twitter video at a time. And now here we stand. He's exceeded expectations at the Hero, soft landing spot or otherwise. But, I mean, Lav, you got to think that there's reason to be cautiously optimistic, maybe emphasis on cautious, just given how quickly things fell apart around this time last year.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, the tone of this discussion is wildly different than it would have been 2.5 months ago. If you had asked me in September, is Tiger Woods ever going to win a golf tournament again, I would say absolutely not, and I think he would be retired in the next year. Now, I think he's going to win a tournament. I'm still skeptical on the major, but we'll have to see how 2018 goes before we can really forecast that. But yeah, there is some... It is cautious optimism because we've been down this road before. He's saying the same things he's always said. This time, the only reason I think it is different is the type of surgery that he did have. It's a last resort surgery. The surgery takes away the pain. It decreases your range of motion, but it takes away the pain. And if Tiger can play pain-free golf, and if he, you know, I think the rehab's a whole other aspect that we can get into. If he's playing golf with a clear mind and a clear conscience of what he's doing going forward, I think he's really in a position to succeed.
No, I would agree with that. And again, as long as he stays healthy, and that's always the big if, mm-hmm. and I'm going to look at this from a purely selfish point of view. It would be great to have Tiger back. It would be great to have Tiger back when you can consider that this is one of those few times in sporting history where you can actually go, well, yeah, we can see how Jordan or Dustin or Justin Thomas or any of these players stack up against Tiger if he gets somewhere close to his prime. I don't think he's getting to his prime, 05, 2000, whatever number you want to pick was his prime. Oh,
yeah, those days are gone.
Those days are gone.
13, I think, is out the window.
But if he gets somewhere close to 13, yeah. That's a great number. He won 5 times, player of the year that year. I think it's so compelling to sit and think, and I think the players are compelled by it, that, yeah, here's an opportunity for this, maybe turn back the clock a little bit and actually see how these guys stack up against Tiger.
Yeah, one of the random stats in golf, and I'm not going to trudge on Jay Ray's turf too much, but the fact that Jack Nicklaus beat Tiger at the 98 Masters, when Tiger's defending champ and Jack finished like T6 or something, that you had there's no real intersection points like that of great players or bridging eras and things like that. And to your point, Rex, I think, yeah, the notion.
Well, the U.S. Open at Cherry Hill and Arnold,
yeah.
And Jack.
Yeah, so there are a handful, but we haven't had extended periods of where we can see Spieth and Justin Thomas and DJ and all these guys that we've spent the last 4 or 5 years celebrating. They have never sat in a final group next to the red and black and seen how their games shape up.
And they want to play Tiger. Yeah. They want Tiger to come back so that they can say that they played against Tiger and they beat him down the stretch in a tournament. And Tiger wants to do it so he can measure himself against today's players, yeah. But also, you know, hey guys, I'm still here. I'm not going anywhere. I think that is the storyline in 2018 that everyone wants to see. Can Tiger summon enough good form to go against the younger generation that has clearly taken over the PGA Tour?
Well, and you look at this, it went both ways. I mean, you know, we made a big deal about those guys playing in South Florida for funsies, and you're talking about Ricky and Tiger playing practice rounds and Justin and the rest of them, and how much motivation Tiger did take from it. I mean, he really got to a point in his life where other people started to matter, where it was important to spend time around some of his contemporaries away from tournament golf. But Ricky went the other way after winning the Hero. Talked about how much motivation he got playing with Tiger, that I have to work hard. Like, this guy's playing well, I'm going to have to continue to work hard. So, yeah, the landslide goes both ways.
This is all predicated on, can we get a healthy Tiger for 4, 6, 12 months at a time? Excuse me. But I think one of the fascinating subplots and storylines in all this is the notion of an underdog Tiger Woods, that so rarely in sports do you get a great player who then is on the other side of his prime and now is coming back. I think back to Jimmy Connors at a U.S. Open, I think 90 or 91. But you get these random times in other sports, but it's tough to find in golf where you have a player who's still kind of going to be perceived as an underdog coming up against some of the best players today.
Did we have that with MJ when he went to Washington?
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Michael with the Wizards.
I think Federer in recent years has had that. Yes. Everyone thought that he was washed up. Djokovic and Nadal.
Yep.
Andy Murray kind of stepped to the forefront.
But the Federer and Nadal Aussie Open final this year was a great example of that.
And there's nothing better in sports than a reclamation project. And let's be honest, that's what Tiger is at this point.
He is a 30 for 30 waiting to happen.
Oh, absolutely. And if somehow, I mean, he resurrects the ghost and everything falls in line at the Masters, which is where I think we would all agree it's going to happen. I mean, there's a reason why Langer is in contention year in and year out into his 80s, it seems like. I mean, there's something about
Sorry, Bertie, you're only 60.
There's something about that golf course that institutional knowledge seems to be much more important than anywhere else. If he's somewhere able to, you know, to rekindle these flames, imagine what a great story that would be.
Yeah, I think if we want to project majors that he could potentially contend in 2000, look, and it's a long time until we get to Augusta. A lot can happen between now and April. I think the Masters is probably a tournament where you would expect him to maybe not contend. I think you'd expect him to make the cut. His short game issues could have a little bit of they could resurface there. I do think, and I think we're seeing that with Phil, I think the Open Championship is the tournament that Tiger can contend in for the longest period of time.
Given the right conditions.
Given the conditions and his skill set, his creativity, his institutional knowledge, whatever you want to call it, I think those are the two majors that he's best positioned to succeed. I can't see him winning another U.S.
Hard
Open.
Hard and fast.
I can't see him winning another
20 under at Belle Reve.
I cannot see him winning a PGA Championship, but I can see him winning either a Masters or an Open Championship.
Hard and fast at Shinnecock might be interesting, which is what they would want. But, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of options out there.
I still think there's so many variables with an Open versus the Rex, as you said, the institutional knowledge of Augusta combined with the limited field. You've got 85 players with maybe only 40 that are walking in thinking they've got a realistic shot of winning that thing each and every year. I think that that's the one where he will have the best chance. But
the precision required around Augusta gives me a little bit of pause.
You never know.
Are we sitting around at this point next year talking about which is it going to be? Tiger's great year or another lost year?
Oh, I think there's an in between there.
I think it's going to be a promising year.
Yeah, I think his success is going to be measured in starts and not results. Can he get?
I would agree with that. Making it to East Lake, is that a successful year?
He doesn't even.
Oh, that would be a shocking year.
Make it to Plainfield is a successful year.
Yes.
The first playoff event.
I think it's been since 2013.
We're not talking about his brilliant performance in Paris for the U.S. Ryder Cup team, then.
No.
Well, no, that could be interesting because if he is upright for 8 months,
Jim Furyk's going to ignore Tiger Woods?
It will not.
No one else has ever done it.
Much. Yeah. It will not take much to
You're probably right.
Candidacy, especially if
it's just like Phil this year. If Phil just shows any signs of life,
yep.
I think the same could be true for Tiger.
And Jim's going to have a hard time because he's probably going to have to end up burning picks on both of those two.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, unless Phil finds something he hasn't had in the last year or two, he's going to have to burn a pick on both those guys.
Which would be okay if you project the 2018 U.S. Ryder Cup team is going to be full of 20-something guys.
If it's
going to
be the same President's Cup team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you take a young...
If you bump a Charlie Hoffman or a Kevin Kisner off...
But if you take a young, hungry, inexperienced team and the only veterans you're throwing in there are basically Tiger and Phil and you take them across the pond, that's an interesting combination.
Yep.
Get a golf bag with clubs in it and a golf cart. Think about it.
Tiger going to have an earpiece while he's playing the 13th hole?
Maybe.
Good. Got the shades, the wraparound shades.
He's telling Jim exactly what the pairings are tomorrow.
But I think that it's, Lav, as you said, that it's not going to take much. I think a good goal is to play in all four majors. I think it's been since 2013 that he's played in all four, maybe in 15.
Or just play a complete season,
hurt, Marion.
Let's say
Marion
15 13. Events. I mean, yes, let's exactly. keep it realistic.
15 would be a great number. Events.
I'm thinking if he's not going to play the majors without playing a couple others in between to get to, 12, 15.
Yeah. If you want to even break it down, I think getting to the BMW Championship
would constitute
a wildly successful year.
Yes. I think
it's probably unrealistic to get to East Lake. But if you can get in the top 70, I mean, you have to have a couple top 10s to get there. I think that would constitute a successful year for Tiger.
Curious point in time. I mean, I don't think any of us have ever been in the Tiger Woods doubting business. Let's be honest, because we've all seen him do such special things on the golf course. And you have to temper the expectations that were created at the Hero with just the reality of the situation, that he hasn't played a full season in many, many years.
And that it was a holiday exhibition.
And that the last time he contended was at the Wyndham in 2015, and he was beaten by a 51-year-old. I mean, you have to temper all these expectations with the reality on the ground, which is hard. I get it. Nothing. Crickets. All right.
I mean,
I agree. No,
well said.
Yeah. I mean, it is. It's been a strange and circuitous path over the last couple of years to get to this point. And I think that you have to be careful just because of so many similarities that we had with the Hero last year versus this year. He's saying the same stuff. I get, Lav, what you're saying about the surgery was different, but the optimism and some of the lines in his pre-tournament press conferences are very same. Even his pattern of rounds, that Friday was the low round, that all of a sudden he's grabbing a share of the lead and everyone's getting excited and then things kind of start to settle back into the middle of the pack. I think that these next 3 months leading into the Masters are one of his most critical stretches in a long time. Can he pull it off of just staying upright and making progress?
I think some of the reasons for optimism are, and we don't need to turn this into a Golf Channel Academy podcast, is that Brandel Chamblee, who I think is the Golf Channel swing guru, expert, whatever you want to call it, he expressed more optimism about Tiger's action – this time than he did last year. If you recall last year, he said this is a guy who's flipping it underneath, and it's gonna cause problems. It's gonna cause problems. In 2017, he is not saying that. He said this is a swing that can work. Yes, you still have to play shots. You still have to chip and putt. You still have to think your way around the golf course. But his swing now, I think, is producing more optimism.
I think most people agree the swing is better. And look, it has a lot to do with the fact that he doesn't have that hyperflexibility. In a weird way, that the restrictions that he has because of the fusion surgery has actually helped his swing out. And I think if he continues down that path, and I don't think he's going to be that Jim Furyk sort of bump and run kind of guy. From what we saw at Albany, I mean, he still has that pop. He can still overpower golf courses. The trick will be in his mind.
Yeah.
Does he still have the mind? Does he still have the intimidation factor that he had for all those years? I don't know the answer to that question at this point.
Real quick, Phil said at the FedEx St. Jude, when he got in contention and he was in position to win, he said, I needed to relearn how to win, and it kind of threw me for a loop. I saw my name on top of the leaderboard, and it kind of shocked me. He said, I had forgotten how to win. It'd been since 2013. Tiger's going to have to deal with those same kind of demons, relearning how to win, experiencing those old emotions again.
I think he's going to need a couple of bites at the apple. It's similar to what we saw with him trying to win again after the scandal when he came back from an extended period of time and just trying to get that first win of Chapter 2 of his pro career. And I think that it might take a top 10 and then to see him on the leaderboard and then get into the final group and then from there.
It's not a foregone conclusion. I mean, going into that final round, I was at the Wyndham Championship in 2015. I felt like Melissa's Tiger on Sunday. His name's on the leaderboard. He's going to win. Look at the field that was assembled around him. You just thought this is going to happen. And no, it's not a foregone conclusion that he's going to do those special things again. But there is the possibility, which gives us all hope.
So if we're going on a scale of, let's go 1 to 10, from lost year to smashing success, Lav, where do you think that this year is going to fall?
A very firm five.
No, smashing success is going to be
BMW.
Making it to the BMW.
I think 7. I think he'll contend twice. I do not think it'll be in a major.
Okay.
I do think he'll play all 4 majors. I do not think he'll get re-injured.
All good things.
But I think he could contend once or twice.
I think will not win.
That recipe that you laid out puts him on the roster in Paris for me.
Yes, and probably for Jim Furyk as well.
One or two top tens?
Yeah. One or two top tens, play all 4 majors.
What if those top tens come in January, February?
It's not going to take much for me.
Or Jim, let's be honest. I mean, it's not going to happen. I'll go with 7. And the reason why.
I just said 7.
No, and I know. I agree with that. It was a good number. And the reason why, I think he will put himself into contention, but there's going to be some clunkers out there.
Yeah.
He's going to miss some cuts. He's going to finish T55. And that, to me, is another question in my head. Is he the type of guy that's going to be happy with T55? I don't think he is. It'll be curious to see how much
he needs to show enough flashes of brilliance
in his own game to continue to put the work and effort into it.
I think Hero probably shocked him.
Right.
The quality of play. I don't think anybody expected him to do better than he did, even himself.
Yes.
But I think that was part of the key, was that he finally is willing to temper his expectations, that no longer is he, at least that 1 week, was he going in and saying, I'm going to win at all costs, that he was willing to dial it back and say, listen, the bar is set low. I need to figure some stuff out, and then we'll go from here.
I agree. It's hard to see him being content with a T55. But if he shows himself enough flashes of brilliance, he'll still be motivated to put in the work and still give this quote-unquote comeback a real concerted effort.
I'll go 6. It'll be a little Debbie Downer. But I'm willing to bump it up and join you guys at 7.
You've put him on the U.S. Ryder Cup team. You have him earning the clinching point against Thomas Peters.
Well, Thomas Peters might have a tougher time making the team than Tiger Woods if he stays home.
Whoa!
We'll put that on another podcast. Oof. But
I'll be on the 2018 predictions podcast.
Let's reload.
Yeah. I just think I want to see what he's able to do in these next 2, 3, 4 starts coming out of the gates. It is a blank slate, and if he's able to stay upright and maybe put some starts.
Torrey Pines, difficult golf course. Riviera, difficult golf course.
I agree.
PJ National, very penal golf course.
Bay Hill,
difficult golf course.
I totally agree.
Could be a rough run up to the Masters.
Could be.
And again, that's when motivation comes into this fact. He is not. He has no interest in being a ceremonial golfer, and he's picked these golf courses where he's had so much success historically. But yes, I agree with you. When it comes to the schedule, he needs to rethink it, and I just don't see him doing that.
Which is a shame.
Go play Greenbrier. Go play Wyndham. Shake it up.
There's a Hilton Head. I mean, there's a bunch we can say, but again, we don't all get ponies.
We could have
I really want a pony.
I really hope you get a pony this year.
Dion, if you're listening, Rex really wants a pony for Christmas.
Head to the stable. All right, boys. Well, this has been a fun look into the crystal ball to see what Tiger Woods is going to come up with in 2018. I know we are going to be very much interested, let's say, in how things play out. And hopefully we'll be back doing this again, talking about Tiger's clinching point over Thomas Peters, who may or may not be in Paris. We'll see. For Rex Hoggard, for Ryan Lavner, I'm Will Gray. This has been a Tiger Woods edition of the Golf Channel podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.